the right to rock. Nightmare Studios, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, brought to you by the RightToRock.com. Horns up. And now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they sleep in the garage. It's Genghis and Ragman.
How you doing? This is the G in our show, only at the RightToRock.com.
What the fuck is that? You're listening to the Midnight Cowboy. On KOCK.
Cock radio.
That would be awesome.
Hook.
And you're about to listen to a cock block. 1 hour of uninterrupted
uncensored
music.
Cock. I like it.
That's money in the bank.
I thought you'd like that. Something told me you'd like that.
It's trademarked. Right, McTeese, can you trademark something that quick?
That was trademarked the minute it left your lips. We got this shit down to a science. I basically have all this shit PDF'd on my phone. I can send the email within seconds.
Hey, McCheese, just real quick question. Can you get your asshole friend to turn on the fucking video?
Yeah, I can do that. Hey, wake up, you fuck.
Every time they're up there, it's like, I got a fever. So anyway, we're back. Back for the attack, Holmes.
We are back for the attack.
We're unleashed in the east, Holmes.
Yeah, you know what? We're coming back with a fucking vengeance.
You know, which will last about two shows.
You never know.
Go back to the same shenanigans.
But we took sabbatical. We were bad for a couple months, and then booyah!
He's fucking trademark, you prick.
Not by you, ass.
Boom, Shanka.
Don't got that one.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. Boom. It's like Boom Shanka. Dude, look at us. We're fucking back, dude.
We're fucking brilliant.
I mean, this could be playing in 2015 for all I know.
No shit. Could be playing at our funerals.
No shit.
Thank God it finally got mixed. Who are we looking at anyway? This looks nice.
Oh, dude, this is an amazing video. It's a little bit old, but I bring it out because these guys are coming back here shortly with a brand new fucking record, right?
Nice.
This is be one of the things to look forward to for next year. But anyway, long story short, a little bit of Blind Guardian.
Nice.
Imaginations Through the Looking Glass, the name of the DVD. And as I was joking before, I was like looking through the glass, right? And then I started imagining things. That's what they were going to call it. And he's like, well, you know, it's that's a little long. That's the imagination.
We'll have to tailor it off a bit.
And Through the Looking Glass, because it'd be like the punk glass.
Right, through a pint glass.
Yeah, so.
At about 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I guess we should stop.
Although I think they close pubs early over in Europe, don't they?
Do they?
You would know.
No, they don't.
And you're like, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The whole continent's a pub, pal.
Oh, yeah.
It never closes.
Well, fucking wifey and I shut it down fairly early. Oh, no, not that early. I mean, we can be out till 12 or 1. We're not fucking old people yet. We're trying. We're there, but no, we'll stay out. If we're having some fun, no metal munchkin with us.
That's something to keep in mind. I guess technically we won't be, because you would say, who are going to be the oldest generation to be metalheads? Yeah. And you could say it's us, but technically, I guess, if they're still around, it would actually be guys like Ozzy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or our boy Tony Iommi, who would be about, you know, whatever they end up being. You can't count, you know, poor Dio because he passed away. But had he been alive today, what was he? He was already near 60 or in his 60s?
No, he was in his 60s.
Yeah.
I so think imagine he was 65 or 67.
See, my dad's 65. So imagine that shit. Imagine if your dad was into fucking metal and had been since metal kind of came out. Yeah. Really. That's fucking long time. Otherwise, it's us, right? We're almost 50.
Yeah.
Us guys, us old motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I don't even want to talk about it.
I'd exactly say I really wish you hadn't brought it up. But you know what I mean? I'm kind of proud of that. I'm proud of the idea that one day I may be this old fucking dude shuffling down the street, but I'll have my headphones on listening to some fucking King Diamond or something because it's like, what the fuck else am I going to listen to?
Yeah, exactly. I could be walking around 70 wearing my fucking Overkill shirt.
Exactly, dude, which is the shit. Yeah, wearing our old concert shirts and shit. You know what I mean? What generation before us ever did that? Nobody.
Nobody, yeah.
So we're kind of cool with that. Yeah.
Kind of cool like that, yeah.
And yeah, the kids will try to do it, but you know, come on. Y'all don't count. Y'all are fucking... Taylor Swift. You know, did that offend you when you started seeing it? And it was probably about 10 years ago that it started, about turn of the century, when you saw all these really young celebrities, 20-something, who couldn't have possibly been alive when it happened, wearing these vintage fucking like badass concert shirts. Like that, yeah. Where you're like, fuck, I used to own one of those, and I bought it at the concert, and now you're wearing one. You don't even know who the fuck that band is, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. It was the thing to do.
But they're all just, like, getting the horns up in their pictures. I'm like, you don't know nothing about fucking Motley Crue circa 1985.
But, yeah, you're right. Was it that long ago? Was it 10 years ago? About 5-6 years ago?
At least 5 or 6 years ago. Maybe not as long as 10, but it seems like it's been going on for a while.
Like, the young celebrities were, like, classic Motley Crue.
This was a hip thing to do. Yeah. Wear the vintage concert shirt.
It didn't happen no more.
And because they finally grew out of that shit. But the other cool thing is... Who's going to be doing that for real with the real thing? Right. Not going to a fucking vintage store, the Metal Munchkin herself.
Right.
She'll be showing up at fucking clubs like, check this motherfucker out.
Well, it was cool when we went and met Steve Blaze. She's like, Daddy, I need a concert shirt, and she's got a concert shirt. She's got a Kiss one. She's got a Poison one. She wants some kind of vintage, so I pulled out my Dio Last in Line t-shirt that. Unfortunately, no longer fits me unless it's going to be a belly shirt. That means my belly is going to be extending way over the shirt.
Big old fish belly.
Exactly. So she wore that, and it was cool because Brian, the vocalist, and Steve from Lily and Axe were like, it's a pretty fucking cool shirt, man.
Exactly.
He's like, this is my daddy. So I was like, I'm kind of cool.
Kind of hanging. A little bit. Kind of making it work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how cool it is. But... I like that kind of shit, but you don't like it when you see the fucking these idiots,
people that have no fucking
stars
clue.
Who don't know any idea what it is.
Like you said,
no appreciation.
Exactly.
But in any case, do we do another tune before we do the beer?
I think we need to play some Blind Guardian. Holmes?
Let's do that to celebrate this badass video here.
Yeah, and the reason we watch this, they've got the brand new record coming out called Beyond the Red Mirror. They like mirrors.
Yeah, they do a lot of that imagery about fucking fantasy type shit.
Dragons.
Looking glass, mirror.
Like little elves.
Dragons, elves.
They were like the Hobbit metal.
Leprechauns.
Someone used to call them Hobbit metal, didn't you?
Yeah. Every time I saw you with a black guard, I'd be like, it's time for your Hobbit metal, isn't it? I don't mean to, Mr. Frodo.
So, anyway, they got their brand new record coming out, so we thought, let's throw in the video. Forget about it. For a goof. So I tell you what, we'll play some classic Blind Guardian, and we'll see you in the side.
Rock and roll.
Wait!
Yeah, I love the Blind Guardian. I'm excited. Remember the one time we were going to go see him with Symphony X and the show got canceled.
Those motherfuckers. Hey,
thank you. Appreciate it. Because we were going to go. That was going to be fucking killer.
Fuck it. That's the thing. I'm not opposed to checking these dudes out. You've been listening to it for so long, and most of the time there's stuff where I'm like, you're into it, and I hear it, and I kind of go, eh. But I bet if I really gave it a chance, I mean, you know, it's sometimes shit's just about a frame of mind. Yeah. And I was maybe in the wrong frame of mind, but then one day I'll just happen to hear it, and I'll be like, holy fuck, this is what he's been talking about all this time, and it's mm-hmm. fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, we talked about that, because back in the day, your band was Symphony X, and I had, like, Blind Guardian and Stradivarius.
And remember, after we saw the show, Symphony X, you were like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Were they fucking awesome, weren't they?
Yeah, they were badass. And I love, speaking of Symphony X, Russell Allen and Jorn Land have a brand new record.
Oh, nice, yeah. Now, I did the review on that.
I saw your review, and I got to say, I don't agree.
Oh, really?
I like it.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just thought it's kind of disappointing compared to what it previously came out.
When you had that line, just said, I can sum it up in one sentence, sucks balls.
I was like, that's harsh. I did not say it. All I know is I'm getting thirsty real quick. And
let's play the Russell Allen.
Yeah, kick that out.
Let's do it.
Speeding fast, I am the downhill king.
No King just reviewed it, but I think he liked Past Efforts a little bit better. I really dug this, though. I put it in. I was preparing, I don't think I'm going to dig this. Uh-huh. But I did dig it. I really enjoyed it. I know you like the Magnus Carlsen stuff a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love Magnus Carlsen. What a great guy. Do you know why, and I know you're about to go into something else, and I apologize, but do you know why Magnus wasn't a part of this thing?
I don't recall. I don't believe there was any obvious sort of, you know, official statement about it. Usually when a guy leaves, the one to make the statement is the people who stick around, you know,
well,
like
Jorn Land.
Well, he's
the one that started it, though.
Magnus?
He's like, I've got a dinner I've got to be at, right? It's like, we're going to record the next night. He's like, I've got a dinner that night, too.
I've got dinners for the rest of my life. Now, I assume when things like that happen, it's probably some creative difference or something like that.
Yeah, that already had another problem.
Or the person said, like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this, and I don't really see any more point of continuing it, even if the rest of people do want to continue it. And so they just kind of part ways. But you figure if it's something that simple, then they could just say that. When they don't say that, they just kind of mums the word, and then they just bring in a new guy and business as usual, then it's like, that's kind of odd. I'm not saying I don't know anything. I don't have any inside information. For all I know, everything's perfectly normal and amiable and all that, but I just don't know. It's just based on past experience. That would be my speculation. But, you know, my thing is, like I said, my personal opinion is that the Magnus stuff seemed a lot more melodic and a lot more really catchy, really nice hooks and stuff. This one, not as much. And I do know that fucking homeboy Timo is pretty badass. he's got a good ear, and he's got certainly a good writer. I mean, he wrote most of the stuff with Stradivarius, yeah. Right? So
he wrote almost all of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you figure the guy's got chops, no question about it. But I didn't hear as impressive a work from him on this album as I've heard with him with Stradivarius. So I guess I expected more out of it.
To be honest, if you talk about Timo Tolkki, we'll play a...
Because you're more the expert on Timo than I am, for sure.
But yeah, after he kind of went nuts, or even before he went nuts...
Mm-hmm.
And had his nervous breakdown. No disrespect.
That's offensive to anyone that's lost their fucking mind. You do realize that, don't you?
Dude, I just said no offense.
You're just covering up.
Covering up what?
My point exactly.
I'm not doing this tonight.
We'll just
I'm not
push
doing
through. Yeah, we'll push through this.
What are you not doing?
Jeez. Can we move on? This is getting ridiculous.
So, anyway... Let's play some classic Stradivarius.
Let's do that.
His mental breakdown,
right.
Or right before that, it was in. This is that classic thing with me, with artists, some artists that they can put out so much great music, and then it's like the tank's empty.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which may have been part of the so-called breakdown or whatever.
Yeah,
either it precipitated it or the breakdown precipitated that, but something affected the other, and I'm not surprised that it affected his output in some way.
I'll tell you what, I'm parched, and I know
you're
parched.
I'm way parched, for sure, dude.
Well, let's get this thing going here.
I'm a little excited about this shit.
Yeah, me too, so...
From the Stone Brewery Company. Jeez.
A little bit better than the last time. A little bit.
Anyway.
Where's our glasses? What did I do with them?
I have no idea. I got my glass.
No, I get your glass over here.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
You gotta take care of things.
I appreciate that. In any case, this is the... I'll let the kids at home know, the ones who are playing along. This is... This is from the Stone Brewery Company, who've quickly become favorites of ours. The Stone Brewery Company just makes some really stellar beer. Our first revelation with them, where we just said, holy shit, we got to keep an eye on these guys, was the Woot Stout, I guess, right? I mean, you dug the other stuff, like the, you know, Sublimely Righteous Ale.
Yeah, that kind I love of
that. And we've had other collaboration ales from Woot before, I mean, Stone before, and they're pretty good. the Woot Stout was exceptional, and I got to give it up. I don't know who was involved. I mean, we know who's involved, but I mean, I don't know who was more involved in what made that as awesome as it was. But you know, it's I got to give my props to Will Wheaton, who is certainly a nerd slash geek sort of demigod. He's very very highly regarded by that group, and you got to say, you can't fucking, I mean, he put his money where his mouth was and made a fucking commercial beer, collaboration beer, and it turned out fucking incredible.
I got to tell you something funny.
Yeah.
I'm pouring these, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to get an aroma or nothing, because that's kind of like cheating, right?
Uh-huh.
It smells like someone's brewing a pot of coffee below.
No shit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's fucking, man, I'm anxious. Let's move this shit along.
Yeah.
In any case, let's get to it real quick. This is the Chocovesa, I think is how you pronounce it. This is the Chocovesa Mocha Stout. This is another one of these classic collaboration beers. Why don't we just read it off the notes here at the side. The notes say, this year's winner of our American Homebrewers Association-sanctioned homebrewing competition, Chris Banker, helped keep us grounded to our homebrewing roots by introducing flavors consistent with our regional palate. His chocolate, cinnamon, nutmeg, chili pepper, and coffee-infused milk stout was built to mimic the flavors of Mexican hot chocolate, a beloved specialty from our neighbors to the south, as our collaborators from Baja California, Cervecería Insurgente, will attest. Layered with tears of earthiness, spice, and roast, this creamy, semi-sweet Blue Ribbon beer confirms that the spirit of the American homebrewer is not only alive and kicking, but thriving at an all-time high. So, let's see what we got. This is classified as a milk or sweet stout. It's got 8.1% ABV.
Oh, wow.
So, not high up there, but not low either.
Yeah, low. No, no.
So it was brewed.
Not too shabby.
For availability, it says limited parentheses brewed once. So I don't know if they plan on bringing it back.
When we went to the last episode, we talked about that convenience store. They had it in the glass case, Holmes. It's restricted, right?
Yeah, they got that shit set up so it's like fucking Indiana Jones is going to come in with his bag and try to take that shit.
Hey, Vato. You're looking in my case.
I know. He's like, you want to see what I got inside? Like, what the fuck? Are you selling some skunk weed or is this beer? But no, let's start with the label as always. They do that great classic stone thing where they paint the label on, basically, kind of a deal. And beautiful colors and very regional kind of a motif going on with, you know, the hops and the looks like coffee beans or something in there. It looks really nice. And they've got Chris Banker's name up there to commemorate this collaboration. I'd give that a really high mark.
Yeah, 3.5.
They always do really classic labels. Of course, that's not official reading for us. So let's kick in with the official part.
The funny thing is, you know, a lot of the time, you know, we talk about the aroma.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't trying to smell it. I had the bottle a good ways away from me because I distinctively tried to stay away.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Bam.
And man, I smelled coffee. Did you smell the coffee?
Yeah. So let's kick on with it. Let's go with the appearance. I would give that a 3.5.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Nice chocolatey color. Now here, unlike the last beer, that lacing is not fucking around.
And it's sticking around,
yeah. Yeah, dude. It's just coating the glass beautifully. Totally. It's gorgeous. So I'd give that like 3.5.
Yeah, totally.
The aroma. Let's go for it. Very coffee forward right there.
Oh, I smell the chilies, though.
Oh, yeah? Did you get the little whiff of the chili? Yeah, a little touch of it.
Do your trick you showed me. It smells
A little touch of like a little heat back there warning you, like, oh, I'm here.
It's like, I'm sticking around.
Well, you don't know where exactly, but I'm here. So
don't let the coffee fool you.
Let's do that a 3, maybe? 3.5? Let's go ahead and take it in.
The pepper's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's the one thing that might be the wild card here. Yeah. Let's see how it plays out. Okay, I taste the chili, but it's not ruining it.
No,
it's enough in the background. Yeah, it's enough in the background just give you a little, hey, don't forget me.
Yeah.
Which is nice. That's the way you want it. You don't want it to be like dominating the profile.
And the coffee taste is it's like we got Starbucks and we poured a shot of espresso.
Yeah.
It's strong, dude.
It's nice. Well, I'm liking this.
I do too. Chocolate, like a dark chocolate bitterness at the end.
Nice, but not an obnoxious kind of bitterness. That's the thing. Some of those bitterness, they say it like it's this great thing, like, oh, it's got a nice bitterness. I'm like, why would bitter be nice? But, you know, this one is actually not bad. It's balanced
it's
enough
pretty
that the bitterness works.
Smooth, too.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Is it
nice. Stout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Milk stout.
Yeah, that's right. You said that.
Definitely got that. Now I'm getting that chili at the end. Not heat, but the taste of it.
I smell it when I'm drinking it.
Yeah,
I got a little bit there.
Yeah, I don't get any heat.
No,
I just get the taste of it, which is interesting. Sombrero, usually get a little touch of the kick.
Does chocolate sombrero, does it have heat?
It's got chilies. I don't think there's a lot of heat to it.
Maybe that's a little. Yeah, actually, in the chocolate sombrero, you do taste a little bit of the heat.
Touch of it. It's just so blended so well with the rest of it, you don't really notice it. That's the thing. It's not that I mind the heat or the chilies. You would think it unusual, but obviously people have proven that, like with mole and stuff, that's not a bad combination. But you don't want it to stick out on its own and say, look at me, I'm just heat in the middle of all this sweetness and stuff, because that's weird.
Well, remember that?
You want it to blend in.
Remember that one beer I got, the mole beer? The mole stout?
Oh, yeah.
It was like fucking drinking marinade.
That shit was crazy.
Disgusting it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's an example where if it's not blended right, it doesn't work. It's kind of easy to get those proportions off. So what would you say on the mouthfeel?
Mixed between watery and kind of a thicker.
A little bready.
Yeah, bready,
bit of a texture, yeah. It's nice.
It's really kind of rich.
Yeah, it's got a nice body to it. I'd give that a 3.
Yeah, totally.
And then finally on taste, what do you think?
I really like the taste. It bothers me a little bit with the aroma. When I'm going in, all I smell is chili, really.
Oh, now, interesting. It's kind of messes with the taste.
Yeah, it's not messing with the taste. It's just like, am I going to taste that? And then when I burped, I tasted the chili.
Okay.
But I don't really taste it going down the first time. It's
That's
only coming out.
That's interesting. It's almost like they somehow engineered it so you just stay in the back.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How about you? About the same. Yeah, it's not at all bad. I taste the chili. But not in a way that's saying, just look at me and ignore everything else and kind of ruining the flavor.
It's almost like when you're taking it up to your mouth to take a drink, it's like somebody cooking stew.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and like someone's making Mexican food around it.
Yeah, I taste the fucking coffee, chocolate. I don't even taste the pepper, really.
And I guess that's what you call, balance. You know, putting a bunch of different shit in there, you want it balanced enough that you kind of get a taste of each of those things so you can appreciate it, but without it dominating the rest of the taste.
And just to add a little bit more, if I hold my breath as I'm taking a drink in and don't smell the aroma.
Right, so you can really taste it.
It's a better experience for me.
Interesting, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's good.
I don't like that smell of like the stew.
It kind of messes with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But I like it. The taste is really good.
Yeah, give that 3.5 maybe?
Yeah. I'd give the taste 3.5.
Overall, maybe 3.5.
If I hold my nose, right?
Overall, 3.5. Or have like the classic cartoon with like the big clothespin.
No shit.
So, we'll move into a topic or start off a quick,
tell you,
quick
let's play
song.
Let's play a quick tune. How about, let's see. I played some a while back. Let's play a little bit more. The new Lacuna Coil. I'm really digging it.
Nice.
Let's play some new Lacuna Coil. For charges of trying to hire a hitman to kill a couple of people. He still faces charges for drug-related stuff as well as some, I guess, intent or something like that.
Yeah.
But the main fine that he got hammered on, he got off. There wasn't enough evidence to prove
that he had really hired someone to try to kill a couple people. You want to play a little AC/DC?
Yeah, let's do that for sure.
I tell you what, let's play something off Black Ice. The last AC/DC record. You want to do that? Because they got a brand new record coming out pretty soon called Rock or Bust. So let's play something off Black Ice.
So old Phil got us in trouble, and I don't know anything about Phil. I mean, he seemed to always kind of be kind of a background dude. And,
well, most of the guys, I mean, you got Malcolm, Angus, and Brian Johnson.
Right, so most of the attention anybody gets on else? Those guys. And certainly with Malcolm recently having trouble with dementia, right? Getting diagnosed as that and dropping out of the band permanently. Right, as the new album got finished, right?
And I don't know if Phil's not in some of the promotional. I don't think he's in the video or in the promotional stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he played on the record. Originally, he played in the band until 1983.
Uh-huh.
He got kicked out and then rejoined them. I forget when.
Kicked out for drug use?
I don't know.
Rowdiness.
He was in rowdiness.
That's anyway, interesting, but I mean, think about it. You know, it would be like hearing John Myung, right, from Dream Theater, a guy who's you respect, is cool, has been around forever, and then all of a sudden goes, oh, by the way, he got caught, you know, getting a transvestite hooker or something in New York or something. You'd be like, what the fuck? Or he got caught smuggling, you know, a bunch of Chinese people into the country to make him work in a sweatshop or some weird thing. You're like, what the fuck? It just sounds crazy out of nowhere. I mean, surely with AC/DC, for the last 40-something years, it's been making a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just stock it away in a bank so that for your retirement, you're set.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to make as much as Malcolm and Angus, but the point is, it's like, you know, he gets a nice chunk of change working that long with a successful band.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's shocking to hear that something like this went on, but I guess they're human too, and they got their own things. People crack up and go, this has got to be the solution to my problems, even though to us, it's like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a shame, but I mean, you know, I guess... shit happens. I'm sure they'll find somebody. They just did their album, so I'm sure they're going to tour.
Yeah.
They may make this their last tour. I mean, they might just feel like, shit, Phil's sort of out a little bit, and we know Malcolm's out. It's like, why don't we just call us a night and be done with it?
Phil could go to prison for 7 years.
Holy fuck.
On the shit that's going on.
Definitely
in his
keep
life.
Him out, yeah.
Yeah, so I, you know, I hate to do this.
Uh-oh.
But we have an expert. You got to give credit where credit's due. Mayor, congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, I know your lips are probably sealed.
Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Ragman. I appreciate it. This is the sort of work I do on a regular basis. I try to do a little charity work. Usually, of course, it ends up in the field of music, particularly heavy metal, where my heart is always lied. And, you know, when I found out that this poor bastard, I mean my client was... having trouble in his band over there down in where the fuck that place is, Australia, Tasmania, whatever it is. I figured I'll help the fucker out. I gotta do what I gotta do. He needs my help. I need a client. I need a high-profile client I can help out and use my legal prowess to assist the poor bastard in whatever sort of fuck he's gotten himself into. And so, you know, suffice it to say, I went in and I kind of locked that shit down. That's what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Why, you had kind of an accent when you came back from your trip.
I didn't notice that, eh?
Yeah. You want to display a little bit of that or what?
Well, yeah. It kind of goes back, you know, time, you know. My great grandma, Guinevere, she told me, Guinevere McKee, she said, son, when you go to another country, you want to kind of learn the ways of the people. It helps you fit in and get along. So I picked that up from her. So, you know, sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it, right? You know, I went down there, before you know what I was saying, oh, yeah, put another ship on the Barbie, Gunner. Yeah, you know, that sort of thing. They eat it up like fucking candy, you know what I'm saying? Those fuckers are all over it like fucking, like an outback guy on a fucking kangaroo burger, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, these fucks were fucking all about it. I was like the Pied Piper down there, you know what I mean? I could have gotten blown in any place I wanted at the drop of a hand. I could have done the Elvis. They walk in and just go, you know, and they would have been all over it. So, I kind of fucking roll with it, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, you're a little fucking free with that information. Are you sure you're not going to offend anybody?
I'm doing fine. Don't worry about it, tough guy. I got my bases covered, you know what I'm saying? The bottom line is this. Let me tell you something.
Are you fucked up? Is that the bottom line?
Where the fuck am I? I think I got to get out of here. Hold on a second.
The fuck did he go? He ran out to the parking lot all of a sudden.
Yeah, I wanted some information on Phil Rudd. Where's the case?
We got all that talking. We got fucking nothing.
We got fucking nothing.
Well, I actually feel like I know less than when he started talking.
I think I feel stupider. I feel like I've been dumbed down.
That's a couple of minutes of my life I can't get back.
I know. Me too.
I'm ashamed.
I am too. I'm pissed off because he gets Phil Rudd off, and then you give him one. You never give him a compliment.
Right.
Never.
Well, hey, I just love that he's making all those movies with Judd Apatow and he's making some bank because I think he deserves it.
He's what?
Yeah, we're talking about Paul Rudd, the actor?
Oh, Phil Rudd.
Oh, Phil Rudd. Oh, you know, I was going in a totally different direction.
Oh,
never mind.
Okay.
I thought that fucking guy who sat on the toilet with his iPad was complaining to that semi-hot chick.
Do you see John? I don't see him. I'm going to mention something real quick.
Oh.
You remember when he disappeared for about 2 or 3 months?
Yeah.
He was a consultant on the Kardashians.
Oh,
you know how fucking Bruce Jenner's like transitioning or whatever?
Yeah.
John was a consultant.
You mean how he's turning to Jane Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, I heard through the grapevine, and John was supposed to be on the Kardashians.
Uh huh.
And I hear that we may get some clips.
Ah.
Of him talking with, you know, the thing or whatever.
Sure.
But, yeah, he was consulting with Bruce Jenner. I don't know. I don't know what to think or whatever, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he does what he does. I imagine some of it's legal, some of it not so legal. So I'm like, you know what, it's probably better. You know, sometimes I walk by his office back up on the west wing of the campus. I walk by his office, and he's got, you know, the little spats on his shoes, and they're all up on the fucking desk.
Yeah.
And he's wheeling and dealing, and sometimes I just kind of peek in there, and I kind of do a double take. I just slowly back away. That's all I know how to do.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Just try to stay still, you know, blend in with the furniture, and just slowly back away. Hope he didn't make eye contact with me. So I just figure.
All I heard is he got kicked off after he teabagged Ryan Seacrest.
See, it's this kind of shit, I think, that hurts his career. Look, tell you what, why don't we, you know, we're enjoying the shit out of this video. Blind Garden's kicking its ass.
Blind Garden, they're the shit.
They're fucking unreal. But
let's
jump into an open...
A topic.
Jump into an open sort of drink session here. I mean, how are you digging this again? Is it working
I am digging. Cheers.
It's pretty damn good, this Shokovese.
Kiss to you.
I have a feeling this makes an excellent cigar beer.
I think so, too.
On the right winter night.
You know, what would you choose the chocolate sombrero over this? Or do you like this better than chocolate sombrero?
Most days, I would say chocolate sombrero edges it out. But this, you know, I think you can catch me in the right mood.
Coffee,
I might.
The strong coffee taste.
Yeah, the mocha part's really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's well blended. A lot of those things, they taste like artificial coffee flavor that they just kind of threw into a beer.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck that. This actually tastes like it's a mocha fucking drink. I think things are going pretty well overall these days. I wanted to touch on the topic of technology.
Technology?
Exactly. You know, tech, hard to believe, but the internet has been running and gunning in, you know, its various little aspects and forms. Did technology sort of spread because it had something to spread, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So because of metal and news, you know, like the 24-hour news and all that stuff, is that what sort of fuels it? Or is it the other way around, that other stuff is fueled by technology and therefore gets distributed more and therefore gets more known, you know, more people hear about it than otherwise would? And I guess by an example, if you maybe went to somebody, you know, 10 years ago and said, hey, how about this, you know, Twitter, or how about this Bitcoin or any of this other kind of shit, and said, what do you think of that? They would have said, what the fuck are you talking about? That sounds like magic.
Right.
But now it's like, you know, bands like Mastodon, for instance, they're the first mainstream, you know, first major label artist to accept Bitcoin. Have you heard of Bitcoin?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. Well, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's basically like a made-up currency. That is, I mean, it's not that it's fake. It's a real currency. What happens is, just to run through it real quick for people that are laymen, is...
You said I'm a layman?
Yeah. So you get a computer that can crunch numbers, right?
Yeah.
And it crunches through this formula, and when it spits out the result of the formula, it's essentially worth like a coin.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay? And...
It's like Chuck E. Cheese coins. A little bit.
And every time you spit out another one of these coins, the sort of formula that you run through to make the next coin is even more difficult. It gets more and more difficult. So that way, there's a finite number of coins that these calculations will make up. And so these coins, you're kind of mining them. Your computer sits there and cranks out coins. It's almost like it's digging in the ground for gold. You're making your own coins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's only so many coins that can be made, and each one is accounted for. So you can't just make up magic coins. So... They have an actual value, like a real piece of money. So if you look on the stocks for it, Bitcoin, the value of the Bitcoin goes up and down all the time. And considering that it's free to make, if you've got the computer powerful enough to do it, you can make shit ton of money off of it. And people are using it like real money.
Uh-huh.
So you can pay. There's people in, I think, in San Francisco, California. If you order a pizza, you can pay in bitcoins if you happen to have any bitcoins.
So just bullshit.
It's kind of funky, isn't it? Yeah, because you're just like, wait, this money didn't come from anywhere. It's a line of code that you put on your computer and spat out an answer to a math problem, kind of. And it's like, and how is that worth money? But suffice it to say, it is. And so the thing is, that's getting more and more acceptance. And I'm using this to illustrate the fact that, you know, here's a heavy metal band who you think of as being just a bunch of dumb hippies who are trying to avoid getting a real job by playing music. These guys are accepting Bitcoin and therefore, you know, helping legitimize this new cryptocurrency. A lot of people think this is the future of money.
But what are they accepting it for?
For their new album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're saying, you want to buy our album, come to our website. You know, it'll cost you one Bitcoin and here's your fucking album. And so that's helping propagate, you know, the idea that Bitcoin is a real thing and people are using it and it's worth something. Let me look, you know, just because I see the quizzical look on your
face. But how do they get any money?
It comes out of the Bitcoin. The Bitcoin itself is worth money.
You got a lot of Bitcoin, like, formulas.
Yeah, if I look at the exchange rate.
How are they going to go to the bank with that?
There are banks that'll basically kind of cash that. It says here, I'm looking it up right now on Google. A Bitcoin right now in U.S. dollars, one Bitcoin is equal to $345. That's what one Bitcoin's worth.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there are people that back when this started, like years and years ago, when the technology came out, people would technology.
It sounds fucking retarded.
It's weird, but technology enthusiasts would go, that's an interesting new thing. And they say, well, here's the code. You can download this code, put it on your computer, run it, and when it spits out a Bitcoin, you'll own a Bitcoin. So people would do this, and this is back before anyone even knew what it was. It was just tech geeks doing it. And they would put it on an old computer and set it in the corner, and they would forget about it. And it was just sitting there cranking out Bitcoins every so often. So some guys have gone back and found out. They go, oh, I forgot. I had this old hard drive in my closet. When I took it out and wanted to see what was on it, I forgot I had mined like 50 Bitcoins. Well, now if you look at the current exchange rate, and you had, let's say you had 50 Bitcoins that you maybe mined over the course of a couple of months. You forgot it was doing it. That is worth $17,300. It's actually worth money.
I don't get it.
See, that's the thing. Most people just go, what are you talking about? But it's worth money. It's literally worth that much money to the right person. Not just anybody.
Who's the dickhead that came up with this?
It's the... It wasn't fucking you, John. Don't even start. No, there's a guy... You silly fucker. The Bitcoin itself was created by a guy... Here's an interesting part about it. No one actually knows who created the Bitcoin. His identity is actually a secret. It's not fucking John. No, its identity is actually a secret. No one knows who it is. I think they say the guy who was supposed to be the creator. I'm looking at. Yeah, Satoshi Nakamoto, which is like a pen name. It's not a real name.
I told you my father was designated.
You fucking idiot. And this happened 5 years ago is when it was created. January of 2009.
It's fucking stupid, though.
You can say that, but if somebody...
Are you mining coins?
No. I my computer, at this point now, it's been going on so long, like I told you, it gets more complicated each time. Yeah. My computer doesn't have the power to fucking mine these things. If I sat my computer down and said, start mining, it'd probably take months to come up with one fucking Bitcoin.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever... I mean, no,
and the thing is...
I don't know if you think it's cool. I think it's fucking retarded.
Oh, I would... Believe me, if somebody said, hey, I would like to pass along out of the goodness of my heart 2 Bitcoin to you, I'd be like, done. I would take it. But, yeah, am I going to bother to try to get them myself? No fucking lie. That's just I don't have the time and I don't have the resources to do it. But the heavy metal band Mastodon is the first major label artist to accept Bitcoin. It says here, they're the first major label group to accept the virtual currency and is taking pre-orders in Bitcoin for its upcoming album, Once More Around the Sun. That's pretty amazing. I mean, they've had 5 studio albums since 2001. They've been nominated for Grammy twice. They're not nobodies.
Right.
50 Cent, who went independent from Universal-backed label Interscope in February, began accepting Bitcoin payments for his new album last week. And this article came out in June.
One more question.
No, I'm fine. So,
having how many Bitcoins for a rim job?
So, having a major label artist embrace Bitcoin is a definite sign of Bitcoin's growth and expansion into the world of music, says BitPay executive chairman Tony Gallippi.
Yeah, this fucking asshole. These fucking jackasses. It's just like the thing we talked about last show. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Call me a fucking old man, fucking moron.
Fine, I will.
Fuck you. No, I'm serious. I mean. Hey, I don't know how we got on this.
What I was trying to say is it just shows you how far technology has come with heavy metal. I mean, people have always made fun of heavy metal people and acted like we're just fuck a bunch of troglodytes. We're just a bunch of knuckle draggers who have no fucking brains. And yet, I think I would venture to say that a lot of the people involved in moving things forward in the music business are metal guys. I mean, technology doesn't do so bad with heavy metal dudes, you know. A lot of the shit going on is pretty technology focused, believe it or not.
Dave Henselman's a computer guy now,
right? You can't claim what's his name, Neil Young. He's not a metal guy, but he's that guy who's trying to push that new kind of sound file type. This new, basically, where you have just super, super high quality, kind of an MP3, an alternative to MP3, but it's super, super high quality. He's heard MP3s and he just thinks this is just sad that people listen to these MP3s and they think that's what music sounds like, and it sounds nothing like that. It sounds like shit. You need, like, you know, zero loss of quality. And so he's advocating this new thing, and he's got a shitload of high profile people backing him up who say, this is the fucking future. Let's do this. It could be the new MP3. It could be replaced by this new technology if it goes well. So
I mean, that makes sense, but this coin doesn't.
Well, I mean, it's just another example of the kind of things that technologies...
people jumping on a bandwagon, trying to get a little press. Be honest.
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. Like I said, if somebody offered me one of these things, I wouldn't fucking turn it down.
If you think about it, Mastodon, I'm not a big fan of theirs, but...
See, I like them.
They have a pretty good size following. I mean, they've been around for a while, and I know a lot of people dig them. I don't particularly. Actually, I do have to admit there was a song off this last record they did. Not the new one.
I heard on Octane or something. I was like, eh, that's not so bad. It's all right.
They're pretty good. I like that they're kind of melodic. But my point is they have this new album. It's scheduled for release June 24th, which was, you know, a few months ago. And the pre-orders are available online for $10.99 in regular currency or 0.017 bitcoins is what it went at the time. If you look at that price now, what $10.99 is in bitcoins, I'm not sure what it is. It may be more or less. But the point is, it's like, they're embracing this technology moving forward. Can't really call these dudes troglodytes if they're doing that. And another thing that legitimizes this, I think, is it kind of ties into last time's topic about sort of the mainstreamness of metal. But we have, we've got universities offering, Miami University is offering a course on metal. Metal on Metal, Engineering and Globalization in Heavy Metal Music. So, quick description. This course addresses the linkages among heavy metal music, global culture, and engineering developments. Heavy metal is a truly global popular music with major impacts in Europe, Asia, the Americas, and beyond. Advances in various technologies have extensively influenced heavy metal, enabling some of its most defining characteristics. This course explores the interplays of technology, music, and culture by integrating the powerful history of metal with an overview of the engineering impacts. Students will engage in demonstrations and discussions of the musical breadth along with engineering technologies. How cool is that? You're taking a college course on fucking engineering globalization. And by the way, while we're doing that, we're going to be listening to fucking heavy metal music, basically.
Yeah.
And how, you know, heavy metal has had an impact on that. So, like I said, where I was coming from is the whole idea that technology and heavy metal don't have to be mutually exclusive sort of subjects or concepts. True. So it's cool to think that heavy metal is helping drive forward technology in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of proud of that shit because with some technology.
And, you know, I'm bagging it because maybe I just don't get it. And who knows if I ever will. But I just find it hard. I think it's more of
a lot of hype,
publicity stunt type thing.
Could
and
be.
I think of these artists are like, let's jump on this bandwagon. I'm going to get more press about it, blah, 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 you know. And I'm already getting X amount of dollars because I sell. I'm getting X amount of dollars from the record company already. Mm-hmm. Are they giving me incentive to take these little fake computer coins in lieu of money for my record? So no skin off my back for the press. Forget about it. Yeah, I'll do it. No problem. You know, so I don't know. Who knows? You may be right. Maybe that's the way currency is going to be at some point in time. Or it could be, hey, this is just another thing to try to sell records at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear where you come from.
But I don't know. I think it's cool, and I agree with you. I mean, if you look at, we talked about this with the Raskins last episode, where Logan was saying, you know, the videos, I mean, it's just a way to sell music. So tech. You can film a video on your iPhone or your iPad compared to hiring a director, getting a set built, all this bullshit they did in the 80s and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now they can do something probably for a couple thousand or less. Or if it's on an iPad and you got all your shit, man, do you really need to spend much more than a couple $100s?
Yeah,
unless you're going to, you know, count your time in there. But then you get your social media, you get your Facebooks, you get your Twitters, you get your Instagrams, you get all this shit. And the savvier, I think the younger, savvier guys are going to say, okay, this is a way for me to promote my band, and this is how I'm going to make it. And then the older school guys, it'll be interesting to see if they jump onto that bandwagon. It just depends at what point of their career. An AC/DC, do they really need a Twitter feed? Probably not.
Right.
Does Judas Priest need that? Probably not.
Right. Established, well-known
say
artists.
A band like, I don't know, I'm just going to pull somebody out of the air. Say Kix.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to make a comeback. They got a brand new record. They're not in the public eye. Unless you're listening to Hair Nation, a lot of people aren't going to know who Kix is.
Right.
So you're like, who the fuck are these guys?
Who are these assholes?
So there's like, okay, my kid's got this. Maybe I should do this to try to help promote the band. I don't know.
Right.
And I have no idea if they're doing any of that. Myself, I don't get off to any of the social media stuff. I know you're more of a social media guy than me. But I think in reality, I'm sure it helps if you've got people, I guess, quote-unquote following you, seeing what you're up to. And then you're constantly feeding this information.
Right, right. So, we got any classics?
I want to play a band, because we talked about AC/DC.
Right.
And I'm talking English, but I'm going to pretend I'm like from like Australia, mate. I can say mate, and it's like, it's a cross between the UK and Australia.
Uh-huh.
Vanishing Point. Fucking killer band. Their first record, a classic. It's a really great record. I'm going to play something off that.
Let's do it.
How about you, Paisan? You got a classic over there?
Yeah, classic. Recently, I'm sorry to say I couldn't make it, but one of our hometown favorites, King's X, came through.
Oh, I love the King's X.
Yeah, they were just on the other side of town, and I just wasn't able to coordinate making it to that show because they don't
really
play a lot.
It's tough.
And the sad thing is, I don't know how much longer they may be playing together because, you know, poor Jerry's had a second heart attack.
Oh, no.
I didn't hear that. Jerry Gaskill, the drummer for King's X, had another heart attack. And that's how I read it when I read the article. Another one. So it's like, holy shit, he already survived a heart attack. I assume it had to be relatively recent. He just had another fucking heart attack, try bouncing back from that. So feeling bad for the guy because that band is one of our favorites, certainly a local favorite, but they've given some really great music over the years. So we hope that Jerry has a quick recovery and that everything's going to be all right, whether or not, he returns to active touring with the band. But, he's 56 years old, and so we'd like to see him back on his feet soon. In the meantime, I'd like to play an old classic. How about Lost in Germany by King's X?
Love it.
What do you got over there for maybe some new tunes for the folks?
Well, I got a band I've been kind of jamming to. They're called Planet Hard.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Booyah.
Okay, and their record's called Now.
Ah.
So I'm going to do a little DC. It's a pretty good record all the way. I'll get you the best track that I think is the best. Yeah. Good kind of old-fashioned hard rock type thing, kind of 80s flavor over there.
Had a good sound to it. I'm digging that kind of retro-y, 80s-y sound.
I do too.
That's running high pretty these days. I'm digging another band that's sort of in that sort of old-school vein, in that it's just kind of straight-ahead old-school metal, in sort of that kind of fantasy concept album kind of vein. This one has a chick singer in it. This is a Sound of Thunder.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I've checked them out.
Yeah, they're kind of a Within Temptation, Temperance kind of sound. This album, I think, is a straight-ahead basic concept album called The Lesser Key of Solomon. And on the cover of the album, you got this chick by like a mausoleum. Looks like some kind of a witch chick holding an ancient book. Ravens flying around. It's all the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And a fucking dude who looks like Cthulhu fucking hanging out with her. So it's a pretty good deal. This one is the second track off the album called Udaroth.
Udaroth.
Once minuscule, crawl from the ranks of slime. Condemned to pay for every mortal crime. A soul so lonesome, even demons tremble. His name is Misery, depraved, divine. The lust for agony, that godly dormant, has woken in his damned desire for a heart. Loads of pain, Udaroth.
I dig those cats. I'm seeing more and more bands like that coming out too, with kind of that. I guess it was all
old
Nightwish,
school kind
a lot of
Halloween
Nightwish.
Is kind of that kind of classic old compressed, heavy kind of razor blade kind of rhythm.
And that's kind of what that Temperance was.
Yeah, I dig that shit, dude.
So they're pretty cool too. So yeah, a lot of there's actually I gotta say this is a really good year. We're gonna have some tough decisions to make come.
Oh, yeah, for the Kicks and Kisses kicks list and this year. Yeah, because there's a lot of good shit going on.
I just can't believe the year's done. Almost. You know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving over here.
Fucking crazy, dude.
It is.
It really flew through. You know how it is. You know, the older you get, the faster time goes, man.
Oh, I know.
Just before you know it, it's like, holy fuck, that shit happened 5 years ago? Seems like it was, you know, last year.
Yeah, no shit. No
you
shit.
Find that shit out. So, anyway, I guess we better wrap that thing up, B.
We want to thank everybody for listening, and we appreciate all your support. As always, keep on trucking. When we give you two big holds up.
You've been listening to Geese and Ragman Show. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to check out the artists you hear on the show wherever you can find them on your favorite online outlet or through iTunes, whatever you want. While you're at iTunes, be sure to leave us a review and spread the word about the Genghis and Ragman Show over at therighttorock.com, where you can find CD, DVD, and Blu-ray reviews, as well as occasional concert review, a piece of music news. And be sure especially to check out the website of our official third man here, Tracy G, who writes all our original music, including the Broken Man theme song that opens up the show. That's for you, brother. Well, that's it, and there it is. Until next time, this is your announcer, Joey Clams, telling you to drink good beer and keep those horns up. The lights are on!